Yo, what's going on, Winning Shot family? Listen, we are back with another episode here at the Winning Shot podcast. My name is John. We got Hunter. We got Colin with me. We got all three of us back in the same screen paneling. So you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. It's gonna be a good episode. You know, it's not a rare occasion, but we always love to have all three of us on the same paneling, so we're able to give unbiased as well as uneven predictions, because we're all able to give our predictions and opinions. It's never a debate. When it's just one 1v1, like usually with me and Hundo or Colin and Hundo. But it's all three of us. So we all get to state our input, state our opinion, and, you know, get to tell them that they're wrong. You know, and I'm right. Thank God. God is amazing. Thank y'all for being here at the Winning Shot podcast here, another episode. Listen, fellas, how y'all doing? Let's get straight into this content, and we'll start there.
Feeling great, bro.
Yes, sir. It's like to hear. Hundo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. Can't complain.
Wonderful.
Happy to be off.
I'm not starting with you this morning. I'm not going to do it. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad that you're off, brother. I'm glad that you're off. Speaking of all of that, man, listen, today is July 4th. And so we're going to get into some good American football because it's on the way back, ladies and gentlemen. Training camp does begin towards the end of this month. There's actually an NFL preseason game on the 31st. I looked at this guy and said, oh, snap, that's literally in a couple of days for real. So it make it seem like it at least, right? So we got to get into this NFL content. There's going to be a lot happening this season. There's a lot riding on this season for a lot of teams, right? So let's get straight into it. Let's get straight into just the talking points I think are very valid. Let's start with the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get to that. Let's get straight off into the bat of that, right? I think the biggest news has come recently because that's just first even hit my mind. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. We knew that Ramsey was on the trade block this year, but everybody had a feeling he was going to get traded. The question was, where to? Who needed help in the secondary? Who was going to be able to pay the asking price? Who was going to be able to kind of just, be willing to take on all of that with Jalen Ramsey? And one team stepped up, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so the trade announcement came in. We saw that Ramsey was traded to the Steelers. My immediate reaction was, okay, makes sense. Pittsburgh, once again, defensive-oriented team. They need help in that secondary. Of course, they had Joey Porter Jr. last year. And that's about it. So, I mean, you know, of course, that's corner. Safety wise, they had Minka and they had Deshaun Elliott. And so, trade came in. I'm like, okay, great. They'd already signed Slay, who's an older vet. So, to bring in Ramsey as well, another older vet, it's like, okay, makes sense for them. Now, the part that really stunned, I think, the NFL world was the trade was a player trade. Now, the player that they traded was Minka Fitzpatrick. And that was the trade back to Miami. And that, for me, was very shocking and stunning. But we're going to let the guys get into their thoughts first, and I come back and get mine at the end. Fellas, when y'all heard the news of the Jalen Ramsey over to Pittsburgh trade, before the Minka part, what were your immediate reactions to that? And we'll get into that after. We're going to talk about the Minka part.
Dude, for me, man, it was interesting. And when they traded for Jalen Ramsey, it made sense. I knew the Pittsburgh Steelers were probably salivating over it, having another defensive upgrade. They love defense, defensive culture. Like you said, I think the shocking part was trading away Minka, because Minka is not just, you know, one of the top safeties. He was also what it appeared to be the defensive nucleus, right, and the captain of that team. So it just seemed like there was like a shift in the culture, you know, trading away Minka. And maybe this is a sign for the Steelers to say that everybody's expendable, but that's not the person I would trade away, because I feel like he kind of sets the tone defensively. With Jalen, you know, I feel like he's at the kind of stage of his career where he's like older and expensive, and I don't know how that's going to fare in Pittsburgh long term. So it's kind of like a win now mode. But there's no help over the top anymore. So him and Joey Porter Jr. are going to have to lock down, because otherwise there's going to be some, you know, very trying moments in the AFC North, because you got, you know, Jamar, you got Zay Flowers, all those, you know, receivers. And, you know, I don't know if Pittsburgh has to be honest with itself. Like, even though it's founded on defense, their defense wasn't good last year. And their defense is slowly deteriorating. And I think just adding these old expensive items doesn't help it, right? I think there just has to be some looking in the mirror defensively and offensively. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this TJ Watt deal. But otherwise, I just don't see them moving the needle this week.
Yeah, my initial thoughts was it was a pretty good move for the Steelers. They needed help in the secondary, as we saw. Joey Porter Jr. got a lot of penalties on the defensive end. Good young corner, but still a bit, you know, unproven as that top guy for real. So you add Slade, you add Ramsey, but then a few minutes later we hear that they trade Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. It's just like, dog, like y'all said, like they lose a big piece on the back end. But one thing that I am interested in seeing is like, do the Steelers try to move around Ramsey? Like y'all said, he is a bit older. Maybe you do try him at safety. I mean, he's been a corner his whole year, but I mean, that wouldn't surprise me if they try to move him at safety, especially if they don't go out and sign anybody else or make any other moves. But definitely surprised that they moved off of Minka. But like y'all said, like this, their culture is defense. So we're going to see, like y'all said, win now mode. They got a lot of older players on both sides now. Even when you look at, you know, DK, Aaron Rodgers on the offensive side. But they still got work to do. Like y'all said, TJ Watt is a big question mark. And I guess we'll talk about that next, about if they should sign him or if they should trade him.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, bro. Pittsburgh's starting to look a little bit of a retirement home, man. I mean, like, it's really like you're trading away your young bulls. Minka's younger, you know what I'm saying? Like, and like Hundo mentioned and Colin mentioned, like, Nucleus, and he's been, like, the leader of that defense, outside TJ Watt, obviously, right? And so in the secondary, he's the secondary's leader. He had a lot of young guys under his tutelage. You know, you got a Deshaun Elliott, you got Joey Porter Jr., you got the other sorry guys I can't name right now. But I mean, you look at the Steelers now, and it's like, okay, you bring in Slade's like 33 bare minimum. Ramsey at least is 31, right? And then once again, you get rid of Minka, and you leave Deshaun Elliott back there, who's more of a box safety over a free safety, right? And with Minka being a free safety, coverage helping you over the top blanket, Puka also come down into the box. It's like, I don't know what your plan was. I mean, you got Cam Hayward, whose Cam is at least 35, 36 now. He's, you know, at the tail end of his career, literally. I mean, you drafted a young bull in Derek Harmon from Oregon. You don't have TJ Watt signed, which you get ready to get into. But then offensively, like y'all mentioned as well, I mean, you got a 41-2-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the team's direction is really just, yes, win now, but it would be more of a win now move if this was 2016 versus 2025. Like, there's been 9 years between that time period, and these men, unless they're still athletes, I know they can still play the game. The question is, this is a younger man's game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have a great mixture. And I don't know if Pittsburgh has that good of a mixture in regards to old folks home versus the young folks who are actually talented young folk. You know what I'm saying? So as the resident steel hater on the podcast panel, that's me, because I'm a Ravens fan. I'm going to tell you this. I mean, boy, it does not look good in Pittsburgh right now. I have to see differently to believe it. I still think that obviously people are going to ride on that Mike is going to have a winning season mentality, but this does not bode well for Mike to have a good season. I'm not going to hold you. This could be Mike's last season in Pittsburgh, the way this team is shaping up right at this current time, especially with that Minka trade. For me personally, it was like, okay, Brandon Ramsey, great move, but trading away Minka, terrible. What the heck? What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to come back to bite them in the long run. Just because, like I said, mentioned earlier, Slay and Ramsey are not the same shutdown corners that they once were in their younger days. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be honest with you. when you got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins lining up across from them, them boys is not fearing them at all. At all. It's going to be barbecue chicken twice a year this year. I'm going to keep it a band. So we're going to see. They could prove me wrong. They could turn back the hand of time. Do I personally see it? No, but could happen.
Well, I think the other thing too, outside of Aaron, how many of these new additions have played in cold weather? Like, there's there's a lot of newness that has happened with, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like DK has never played in the cold weather environment. Aaron obviously has in Green Bay, but Jalen, he's gone from Florida, Jacksonville, you know, and then he goes to the Rams. Now he's with the Steelers. I mean, yep. You know, Dolphins and then Steelers. But it's like, you know, I'm thinking about once it gets winter, having to play in the AFC North. We saw that Browns game. I forgot who they were playing with the snow. Like the snow was covering the entire field. And what wins in cold weather? Running the ball. Have rookies in the backfield. And I think this team is kind of built like it was the Rams or the Miami playing in domes and playing in the warm weather. And I feel like they're not built to win in the playoffs and when it matters later in the season. And that's what scares me, because it can look good at the beginning of the season, but as the season progresses and the elements change, I don't see that team being as dynamic on both sides.
I think a big thing is going to be health. I know you talked about the elements, but I think that health piece is going to be big. Even bigger. If they're able to stay healthy, I mean, I don't expect them to win like 12 or 13 games, not at all, but they could sneak into the wild card. Now, that's probably not going to save nobody's job, and that's not, you know, moving the needle or anything, but I don't know. I just don't know what the expectations are. Like, I don't think this team is built to win the Super Bowl, not at all.
Not at all.
But it seems like they're just trying to get by. And if they can get by, you know, winning 9-10 games, oh, Mike Tomlin had another winning season. Okay, cool. But I think the goal has to be, especially for an organization like Pittsburgh, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. I don't think the moves that they've made are moving them in that direction to win a Super Bowl this year or down the road.
Right. Yes. Aaron Rodgers already said this is last year. So it's like you back literally a square one next year because you got to find another quarterback. And I said this, I think I said this before in the podcast, but Will Howard from Ohio State, not the answer. I don't think so. And that's who they drafted this year. So it's like, you really putting all your eggs in that basket. Or, like you said, to go get a good quarterback next year, you probably have to be a sorrier team, right? If you're trying to win, it's like, are you really preparing to go get the quarterback in next year's draft in the first round, which is more than likely what they're going to have to do to go and try to get a quarterback, right? The state of the Steelers is once again, as a resident Steelers hater, I don't really care that much. Y'all can be as sorry as y'all want to be. It does not hurt my feelings at all. But as a fan of the game, I'm like, you know, what's the direction that we're going in? And to out of respect for Mike T, I'm like, brother, are you trying to save your job? Like, what's the word? Like, are you ready? Like, ready to leave? I was talking to a Steelers fan the other day who shall not be named Lou, but he was, you know, discussing the fact that, you know, he felt like the Steelers, you know, he was realistic. He said, you know, at max, they can win 10 games. And that's being nice. Honestly, looking at the schedule, I'm like, okay, you know. But like you had mentioned to me, to try to sneak to the playoffs, you got to win bare minimum 10 games. But if that's your max, your over-under got to be like 7. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't, this Steelers is not looking good this year. And once again, as we're about to get ready to talk about, y'all best defensive player right now, TJ Watt, is not happy. And from all the reports, they're not close on a deal. And in my mind, I'm like, you're already struggling as a team. Are you trying to blow it up and start over? But based upon the moves that you're making, that can't be the case. But you're also not trying to pay your best defensive player in TJ Watt, who has seen Myles Garrett in Cleveland as a sorry organization, sorry team, pay him astronomical money. And TJ's like, well, I'm in Pittsburgh. This is a, you know, blue blood of the NFL team organization. Y'all should be willing to pay me very similarly because I have very similar attributes, stats, all the things to match up to what Miles has done. When they talk about best defensive ends and best defensive linemen in the league, it's Miles and it's TJ always in that conversation together. So I respect TJ for trying to get his money. Get it for 100% sure. So it's like, what's the holdup here? He's almost in a similar situation as Trey Henderson in Cincinnati, another divisional guy. We're asking these guys to put up numbers and put up stats, and they're responding by doing it. And these teams are not paying them. So it's not going to end well if they don't pay TJ. I'm gonna tell you that right now. If they don't pay or trade TJ Watt, kiss the season goodbye. That's a guarantee.
Who's better right now, the Bengals or the Steelers?
I think in my mind, bro, they're opposites. On defensively, Pittsburgh obviously much better than Cincinnati. Offensively, Cincinnati's much better than Pittsburgh. So, like, I want to see them play because, like, we get to see their best go against each other. It's one of those games that could be 14-10, could be 6-3. Like, I don't know. Like, how is it going to turn out? But it also is predicated on them paying their players. Like, if they don't pay Trey or TJ, it's going to be a lot of points scored one way or the other because you're not getting a pass rusher if Trey not TJ down on that field. Like, he's literally their best pass rusher by far, clearly, and has been for a long time. So it's like, if something is to happen, he's not there, Ramsey and Slay, it ain't going to matter. They're going to be cooked. They're not going to keep up with Jamar and T for a whole game at 30-something plus years old when Jamar and T are like 26. No, not, it's not happening. Now, they can say all day, yeah, y'all, you know, y'all doubt me because my age. Yes, I am. Yeah, yes, you're right. I'm glad you know that. I'm not going to lie. I'm about to look up Darius Slay's age right now. I'm pretty sure Darius Slay is like 30-something plus. And so, like I said, with no pass rush to help, because, I mean, obviously, as a defensive unit, you need everything to kind of work together. It's just, yeah, it's going to be bad. So, who's better right now? Because offense right now is dominating the league and passing as the goal, I'm going to give the edge to the Bengals. Because I just haven't seen that Pittsburgh offense. And I'm not sold on it. So, I'm going to give the edge to the Bengals, even though they have no defense right now. It's slight. It's very slight. But I'm going to give it to the Bengals.
Yeah, I have to go with the Bengals, too. You got Joe Burrow. You got Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Like, that's deadly. And you got Chase Brown in the backfield at running back, who had a good year this past year. As we know, big question mark on defense. They suck. Plain and simple.
They're terrible.
But, you know, those games are always close, those divisional games. And they're both going to compete. But just going back to T.J. Watt and the Steelers, like, the Steelers have a history of not paying players. Like, whenever it's time for a big contract, whether that's a receiver, quarterback, running back, they let them walk. They'll trade them. The Steelers don't like paying players. Like, it's simple. But crazy when work. You have, like John said, a top three, top four edge rusher, you would like to think you would want to keep them on your roster. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be easy to replace. And if you do trade them, I was talking to my brother about it, like, bro, you're not getting no superstar caliber player in return, bro.
Facts.
Like, that's just not how the NFL works. When it comes to their trades, you're probably not getting a first or second round pick for them. So it's like, bro, like, if you don't want to pay him, what are you expecting in return if you do trade him?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing with Pittsburgh. Like I said, you want to keep that top three, top four edge rusher on the team. And I think with him, he definitely helps and covers up the defense on the back end. And like you said, John, earlier with like Cam Hayward, like, they're getting older.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Try to lock in your best guys and let them rock out for, you know, two or three more years and see how it goes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Cam got two or three years left.
Nah, he don't. Nah, he don't. Girl, he don't. Like, but I'm saying, if you lose Watt in all of that,
who you paying? Who you paying? Nobody. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you lose TJ,
exactly. That's why I'm saying you need to get him under contract for two or three more years and let him rock out and try to continue to build a team.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. But that's what I'm saying. Their building to me doesn't make sense. Because, like I said, Jalen Ramsey's be 31 in January, I believe. I just know he'd be 31 in October. Slay is 34 already.
Slay is cooked. He's on his last leg.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, essentially, okay, it's like, okay, do I go back to Joey Porter Jr. next year and rely? Hopefully, he turns into a lockdown corner. Is that the prayer? You got Patrick Queen out there at the middle linebacker position, and then.
They drafted Peyton Wilson, the white.
Yeah, from North Carolina State. Yeah, I remember him. He's decent, for real. But, I mean, I don't know, bro. Pittsburgh, it's not looking good out there, man. It's really not.
But, yeah. But I think it goes back to the conversation that Colin was saying a few months ago. It's just like, do you choose to be sorry for a year and get a high draft pick? Or do you just continue to be middle of the pack and end up where they're at with pick 21, pick 17, and you're not getting these elite guys?
I will say this, though. Two things work in Pittsburgh's favor for the year. One, the draft next year is in Pittsburgh. Two, they have already currently like 12 or 13 picks for next year's draft. Currently. That was before the Ramsey trade, and I think they wound up trading up. I don't remember. Either way, they have a plethora of picks for the next year. So they can infuse a lot of talent. But like you mentioned, quarterback's gonna be your biggest need for next year. So do you want to grab some elite talent early? Let's just say Cade Klubnik. Or let's say Lenore Sellers decides to come out this year. Do you take one of those guys who comes out of college this year and build around them for the future? Or do you say, okay, we're just going to play a game like the Ravens do and take a plethora of picks and try to hit on every one? That's usually not their mantra. That's not who the Steelers are. We are that. The Ravens are that kind of team. We'll take 13 picks like we did this year. We had 11 picks and use every single pick to go get somebody. While everyone may not be a hit, our GM, shout out EDC, he gonna make sure that boom, 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 we're gonna grab whatever else we need to cover up any kind of holes or even any future injuries or things. He's trying to make those kind of things shake. I haven't seen Pittsburgh do that, so it'd be very interesting to see how they do use these 13 picks that they got in this year's draft. And whether they decide to trade TJ and add some more to that, or do you pay them and say, okay, we're gonna bring in some guys to help, as a unit. So this season's going to be very telling in Pittsburgh and how they move it.
What do y'all think is the biggest hole for the Steelers?
Golly, the offense. It's been the same thing for the past 3 years, bro. I mean, that's easy. For me personally, I mean, like, I look at Pittsburgh, bro, and, like, obviously, once again, defensively, they've been, the Pittsburgh Steelers for a while, bro. But I mean, like, everybody else in the division offensively has made moves and strides. Like, DK's been their biggest thing in Pittsburgh in the past. I don't know. It's been a minute since they had, like, a DK caliber receiver, right? I mean, they've had some guys, but a DK caliber receiver, I mean, you got to go back to probably Antonio Brown with them, right? They haven't really had too many offensive weapons since the Ben Roethlisberger era. I mean, you can name drop some of these young bulls, the George Pickens, the Najee Harris, but like those guys weren't like the same kind of caliber as a DK. And I mean, that's just the truth, honest to God. So it's, I think obviously their biggest hole is offense. I mean, start off with quarterback. Once again, he'll be gone. You got to move to running back. Najee's gone. So, I mean, Jaylen Warren is cool. Are they just looking for somebody to be a placeholder there? Or do you want to have like running back by committee? Like what's the vision there? DK, he's going to need some help. I mean, when you got nobody else but DK out there, yeah, they just traded also for Jonnu Smith. That was another part of the thing we didn't discuss as well. Jonnu Smith was also traded to the Steelers, and so they add him with Pat Freiermuth. And so you look at that, you're saying, okay, you run a two tight end system. Is that in your best benefit right now? What's the goal with that? Do you want another receiver to come out and, help the team? So I think offensive line-wise, they've had some issues. There's a lot of, Russell's running for his life a lot last season. And so that needs to be fixed up and patched up. So, I mean, I think just offensively all over the field, I think they need some solidified pieces or at least some solid role guys that are going to be a step in and help and keep things afloat. Because offensively in the AFC North, I mean, we have some of the best offenses in the league with Cincinnati and Baltimore. So it's like, if you're trying to keep up with that mantra, keep up with that team thing and trying to compete for the division title, you gotta plug up some holes in Pittsburgh on that offensive side of the ball and defensively as well. So especially now with safety.
Yeah, I think their biggest hole is the offensive line. Like, I think Najee is actually going to have a better year than like these past years with Pittsburgh. And I don't think it's necessarily because of him as a running back, but I think it's just because of the offensive line, honestly. And they haven't been able to protect Justin or Russell last year. And I think that's going to be the biggest problem with Aaron Rodgers. And a lot of their money is going to these skilled positions and defense, but the offensive line is still bad. And I think, they don't cover that up. It could get really ugly. And I don't even know who. Like, when I think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm thinking about, like, your Lawrence Timmons, Bud Dupree's, and, like, even the early years of, like, Ryan Shazier. They don't have, like, any, like, a good Mike linebacker. Like, you have great people that are, like, you know, putting their hand in the ground. You know, like your Alex Highsmith and your T.J. Watts. And now you got Derek Harmon and Cam Hayward. But I think in terms of controlling that defense on that second level, they don't have that as well. So, and now, because they traded away Minka, you're going to have issues on the back end. And I think just in terms of the nucleus of that defense, you're just losing key guys. And I just think it can unravel quickly. Because you think about, like, they added a lot of guys who could be in headlines. Like, I could see Jalen Ramsey getting mad. I could see DK getting mad. I could see Aaron Rodgers being in headlines. And the one thing about Minka, Minka put his head down and worked. Like, even though he might have been declining, he wasn't making a lot of noise. And I think they just added a lot of noise to their roster, which can be a deficit in trying to build a winning organization.
Yeah, I'm done talking about the Steelers. Ravens are the best team in that division by far. Thank God I'm a Ravens fan.
One last thing I'm going to say, though, about the Steelers, though. The worst thing that can happen this year is them being good. Because, like Lou said, if they do win, like, 10 or 11 games, they're going to try to run it back. And they're not going to be honest with themselves. Because if it's just like last year and they have a winning season and get smoked in the playoffs, I think the writing is on the wall. They need to blow it up.
Colin, where are you at on the T.J. Watt situation? Did you give your thoughts on that one?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily about the money. I think it's more so about the years. Because if you sign him to a four-year deal, he's like 30, 31, I believe. You know, that's going to be really expensive in his later years. And I think in terms of moving off that contract, I don't know how feasible it's going to be after, you know, 2 years from now. Because, like, you know, me and John said on the pod before, this is a one-year project. This could easily unravel. And if it does unravel, you don't want to be stuck with that expensive contract. So I feel like it's not them not wanting to pay him. It's just I think TJ wants a longer contract, and I don't think they're willing to do that.
So do you think they should trade him?
I don't think right now. I feel like if you can get like a 2-year deal, I would sign him, because TJ, like you said, you traded away Minka. I feel like I don't know the Pittsburgh organization, but I feel like Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, and Minka are your nucleus in terms of who's getting that locker room together and who's actually carrying the momentum week to week. That's another captain that you're moving away, and I just don't think that's feasible for what they're trying to build. You're losing that Steelers culture bit by trading away all these players. So if we can get him for a short-term contract, keep him. But if he's trying to get 4 or 5, I don't know if they do 5-year contracts, but 3 to 4 years, I would trade him.
That's just my only thing with trading them, bro. Like, I just don't know what they're expecting to get back or, like, what they would be looking for, bro. Like, I just don't think that his value is anything crazy that you can get back in return. Like, I don't think they're going to rightfully find the right trade party that's going to get them what they need in return for TJ Watt.
Well, but the thing is, going into the season, though, you know injuries happen. And if you're a contender and you lose a key guy on defense – I could see a contender giving a first for TJ Watt in the middle of the season. And they did it with Von Miller.
Who gave a first for Von Miller?
No, I'm saying they traded Von Miller in the middle of the season to the Bills, right?
What did they get, though?
Was he traded in the middle of the season?
I think he signed with the Bills.
I
appreciate he signed Buffalo, bro.
No, I'm talking about when he got traded. Did he get traded to the Rams? From the Broncos? Or was that...
Broncos trade star linebacker Von Miller to Rams for 2 2022 NFL draft picks. Let's see what these draft picks were.
Probably like a third.
But see, even in that scenario,
second and a third.
Even in that scenario, though, the Rams are in Super Bowl mode. That's not. I don't know if anybody's, like, in that kind of mode. I mean, I guess I understand what you're saying. Like, the Lions kind of were in that mode when they had to go get Za'Darius Smith last year, right? They were trying to win now. I'm trying to think of a team that could be in that kind of situation where they're like, I'm desperate enough to trade a second for TJ Watt right now. Like, that team, like you said, is a Super Bowl win now team. I mean,
I don't know, bro. Like, I just feel like even with that trade package of, like, a second and a third round, bro, like, I still don't feel like that's enough for TJ Watt, me personally. Like I said, like he's a top three, top four edge rusher, bro. Like, I'm just not letting him go for a second and a third, bro. Like, I personally need more than that. But, like, I understand that that's not how the NFL works.
Yeah, because he's 30.
But still, bro, like, he's still playing top level, bro. Like, I'm not letting him go for a second round pick, bro. Like, I'm sorry.
I feel that. I feel that. That's real. Man, let's move over to the NFC, man. There's a lot of teams in the NFC right now that are kind of at the top of their game, right? We look at Philadelphia. We look at the Commanders, which is crazy to say now. We look at, you know, can San Fran get back into the runnings of things? You know, we got teams like Detroit. They should be back from injury now. When I look at the state of those top teams in the NFC, what do y'all see as strong suits? Y'all see any dark horses out there? But we can get really straight into these bold predictions if y'all really want to, for real, about, like, you know, what do y'all see happening in the NFC this year in regards to those top teams? Can Jaden lead Washington back with the addition of Debo, with Terry still there but not necessarily there because he wants a new contract? You know, with, once again, like I said, San Fran, they just paid Purdy crazy bread. Didn't think it was worth it to me, but, you know, with him getting that contract, with him losing, with him getting CMC back prayerfully, with him keeping Ayuk prayerfully, with him getting Kittle back healthy prayerfully, can he lead San Fran back to what they were, which was a contender a few years ago, in Detroit? They should, once again, like I said, back from injury list was long as a dog on grocery list. They should get all of those guys back. You know, can Jared Goff and Gibbs and Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown and that defense, they're getting, you know, Aiden Hutchinson back. Zadarius Smith is actually free agent right now. You know, they got linebackers, they got safeties, they got corners. Can they be the team? Like, what are y'all seeing in the NFC that's like, okay, this makes sense?
Quick question before we jump into that. When the NFL, like, owners and stuff was having their meetings, whatever happened with the conversation of, like, possibly, like, seeing teams just by, like, their record?
They got voted against. They got voted against, if I'm not mistaken. They wasn't rocking with it.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I think they need to change that. But, yeah. I don't know, bro. I feel like it's going to be wide open for real outside of, like, Philly and maybe, like, Detroit if they can stay healthy. But other than that, bro, I don't really have too much faith right now in any of those other teams to come out and dominate and do nothing too crazy, in my opinion.
I think Detroit pulls back. Like, it's just another offensive coordinator for Jared Goff, and they're replacing the defense coordinator. There's just a lot of newness in Detroit. I don't think they'll be sorry, but I think the reality is people are talking about 12, 13 wins, you know, in terms of play, people I'm, like, surrounded by. But it's like, no, I think 10, 11 is a reasonable number. That can still get you into the playoffs potentially, but I don't think they'll be as good as they were last year, nor do I think Minnesota's going to be as good. Obviously, going from Sam to JJ, I think it's going to be a huge drop-off. And it's going to take a lot of figuring out for Minnesota. I actually have Green Bay winning that division. I think Chicago might be second or third. But I think Green Bay, in terms of consistency, they're the most consistent team in that division in terms of offensive coordinator, in terms of roster construction. And I think they're the dark horse for me in the NFC North. I think a couple pods ago, I talked about the 49ers. I see them bouncing back with their schedule. Their schedule is very favorable. And, you know, all Brock Purdy has to do is manage the game. And I think CMC has a big year. In terms of the Commanders, I think I still have the Eagles winning that division. Like, they're just going to find a way. I like their roster. And I like, you know, keeping Big Man Gio around. Now, I just don't see anybody overtaking the Eagles. I think the Cowboys, we'll get into the bold predictions. The Cowboys will be one of those teams in my bold predictions, but I think they're going to be terrible. And in the NFC South, I have Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to dominate that division. I think Carolina takes a step up, but they're going to be fighting for a second, maybe third, depending on how the Falcons look.
You know what, Colin? You said a lot of things, man. And I couldn't agree less, actually.
When you lost me when you talked about Green Bay. And I'll tell you exactly why. I mean, shout out to the Green Bay Packers because y'all gave us Jair Alexander. But that's also the biggest thing for me. I think they're going to take a big step back on the defensive side, which is going to hurt them in that division, right? I look at the division, and it's defensive heavy when you look at Minnesota and you look at Detroit. So for me, when you have no defense, and then offensively, you know, yes, you got still got Jacobs at running back, you got Jordan Love at quarterback, and then you got, you got your guys at wide receiver. But I personally think it's going to be enough for them to win the division. Corner, they have no corners. And when you're in a division with Jettis and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you have no corners, it's a long day. And twice a year, that's already four L's right there. So it's like, okay, if you got to win bare minimum, they won 11 games last year, Green Bay didn't, and they made the playoffs. But that's because the rest of the, you know, the conference sucked. With other teams bouncing back, you got to win bare minimum 11 games again. I don't know if they do that with no corners on their team, bro. Personally. Yeah,
but this is the thing. They won 11 games. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, though. Yeah, they won 11 games, right? But you got to do that now with no corners. Yes, Jair Alexander didn't play the whole season last year. But you also didn't have the same secondary. I don't know who else they got out in Detroit. Or not Detroit. In Green Bay right now, defensively. But I don't see too many, like, guys outside of, like, Josh Jacobs. I mean, even Jordan Love is streaky. I thought he was gonna be better, but he's been like in that division. He low key is. I mean, he probably still number two, just because they got young quarterbacks in that division. But still, I just don't. I don't know. I don't see enough from them to say that they can win the division.
And what you just said is kind of my point. Like they went 11. They went 11-6 last year, and they went 1-6 in the division. And I don't foresee them going 1-6 in the division again. I think a lot of that was because after the Brazil trip, Jordan Love got hurt, and then that offense was up and down. I think Jordan Love comes back healthy. And in terms of just quarterbacks in the division, you're right. I think he's like the second best quarterback just because we don't know what we're getting from Caleb. We obviously think both agree that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the worst quarterback in that division.
Yeah.
And with Jared Goff, we've seen Jared Goff outside of Sean McVay, and Ben Johnson is a good offensive coordinator. I just don't know what it's going to look like. And I think it's going to be some figuring out early in the season. And they start with a divisional game. So I'm just like, in terms of consistency, they can definitely steal a couple of wins. So they'll at least be vying for the division. I think in terms of bold predictions, I just see them being a sleeper. That's like, dang, how did Green Bay get there? So that should be them.
I don't know, bro. I think that 1-5 in the division is big, though. Like, it shows you, like, even last year, even though the Bears were sorry, like, they can compete.
That's crazy.
Like, if the Bears were that sorry and Green Bay went 1-5 in the division still.
That's true. Like, that does say a lot.
That says a lot, bro.
That's true.
So I don't know. And then also, like John said, offensively, like, who's your number one receiver? Like, they got a lot of, like, B-, B-plus type of guys at receiver. So somebody got to step up and be that top dog to be like, bruh, Jordan Love, give me the ball.
Yeah.
And I think they still haven't figured that out yet.
So who do y'all have winning the NFC North?
I think Detroit still wins. Maybe they lose a few more games, but I still think they win that division.
I agree. They're just too dominant in that division right now. I think that Minnesota's a close second. And I think, honestly, I think Chicago's going to be better than Green Bay this year. I'm going to keep it a band, which I think Chicago's going to be better than Green Bay. I think Caleb Williams, second year in this system, he doesn't figure it out as a maybe NFL-wise, but he's going to figure it out in that division at least to win another game or two. So I can see Green Bay being last, in all honesty.
So you have Minnesota second in the division?
Yeah, I do.
One thing I will say about the Bears is, like, they have the pieces.
That's what I'm saying.
On both sides, they have the pieces.
Yes.
Like, even last year, like, you look at that roster, like, the roster wasn't bad. Like, they had a good roster last year.
Yeah,
so they did. I think with Ben Johnson, he comes in and he helps them out. Like John said, like, a big question mark is going to be, can Caleb Williams be that guy?
Yeah.
So if he's able to be that guy with those weapons that he have, and they've already invested a lot into that defense, they should be way better than 5-12. I tell you,
facts. They should be on paper.
So Chicago, man, I'm looking at y'all, man. Y'all gotta do something this year.
They got to, bro. If they'll do something this year, they gotta blow it up already, because you're wasting talent at that point.
Hey, Caleb Williams might not be that guy, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I hope that's not true. But
I hope it's not true too,
bro. And the other thing is, we've never seen Ben Johnson as a head coach. We're expecting him to come in and beat Andy Reid. We just don't know what it's gonna look like. Like, you're having to manage the team. And Detroit, all you had to do was manage the offense. At least Matt LaFleur has been a head coach for the past 4 years. So there's no like newness happening. There's just a lot of newness happening in that division as a whole.
Yeah, I hear you from the stability standpoint, but like the talent got to be there too, bro.
No, I agree. And Chicago has.
From a roster standpoint, bro, like they probably are like the third, if not fourth best roster in that division.
Yeah, and I agree with you, bro. But we were saying that, 4 years ago about the Chargers, but they had Brandon Staley, who was a terrible head coach. And I'm not saying Ben Johnson is Brandon Staley, but we just don't know until we see it. You can have the greatest roster in the world, but if you can't manage it, then it can become dysfunctional easily.
I think at bare minimum, the thing is this for me, though, right, with him. He was a great offensive mind in Detroit, right?
Yeah.
So I think that bare minimum, you bring that same mentality over to Chicago, who has a good offense on paper. Once again, you got crazy weapons everywhere. Like, you can drop some crazy schemes to get these guys to make plays. And let your DC do his job. Hey, run the defense, bro. You just, bring me the game plan. I approve it. This offense is my bread and butter. This is what's going to help us to win. I just need you to manage on the defensive side, stop them, maybe get 3 points instead of a touchdown every drive. I can get y'all 7. That's my job right now. If I'm Ben Johnson, make sure I get 7 every time I touch that ball with Caleb. Hey, Caleb, we working right now.
And that's the key when it comes to like leadership and coaching. Like, you got to allow your other guys to do their job. Maybe it's not all on Ben Johnson to, you know, control the locker room or whatnot. Like, let your coordinators, let your assistant coaches handle that. You just worry about the offense. So we're going to see. Yeah,
definitely going to see. Definitely.
I just got more faith in the Bears right now than I do in Green Bay, me personally.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Totally.
I will say in the NFC too, like Tampa Bay, like everybody's saying the NFC South going to be sorry, but like it should be sorry. So Tampa Bay, handle your business. Y'all should not be 10-7, bro.
My bold prediction
I need 13, 14 wins from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, good luck with that. Hold on now.
Bro, they had 10 last year, bro.
You asking for an extra 4?
Hey, it's possible.
No, honey.
Listen, it's not possible. Listen.
What?
They went 4-2 in the division last year.
All right, I'm about to read off that schedule. Here we go.
You sweep the division. Hold that's on. 12.
I got you. Hold on. I'm about to read the schedule off. First game to start against Atlanta. In Atlanta. I think Atlanta's not going to be a slouch. I think they're not as much of a slouch as they were last year.
I'll give you Tampa Bay. I'll give you 1-0.
All right. Then they go to Houston and play Houston.
No offensive line.
Yeah, I'll go 2-0.
Then they are at home against the Jets.
3-0.
3-0.
Okay. Now they play Philly.
L.
3-1.
Okay. They go to Seattle.
Seattle gonna be tough to play in, but I give them the win.
Nah, I got Seattle. I got Seattle win.
I'm giving Tampa Bay that one. Go ahead.
San Fran.
Loss. Is it in San Fran?
No, it's in Tampa.
I'll still go San Fran.
I'll give San Fran that one.
Then they go to Detroit.
L. They got to get one of those three. That three-game stretch right there, they got to get one of those. At least
they
one.
They usually go 0-3-2.
They could. That's why I said they at least got to get one. If they can at least get one of those, that's a win.
Then I'll give them this. They go to New Orleans. They should get that.
Yeah.
They come at home and play the New England Patriots, who we haven't talked about yet, but
yeah, that could easily.
I say it could be a trap game for them.
Wait, what's the date on that?
That is in November, but it's in Tampa.
It's in Tampa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm gonna give them a W. I think. Like y'all said, I think that could be a trap game. I definitely think the Patriots gonna be better this year. But
okay.
I'm going with Baker.
Now you take this Florida team and send them up to Buffalo in November.
Yep, lost.
They come back.
But also we got to see how Buffalo gonna look too.
That's
true. Can Josh Allen still play how he played last year? Like we talked about before.
You know how I feel about Josh Allen.
If they have to go to Buffalo in November, yeah.
But yeah, going to Buffalo in November is a different beast when you're a Florida team. We see how Miami get every time they get up out of warm weather. All right. Then they go fly across the country, go to LA, play the Rams.
Loss.
I think that'll be a shootout, but I think they win. I think Tampa Bay wins.
Interesting.
I got to lose
in that game for sure. They come back home, play a divisional opponent in the Cardinals. It's not a division opponent, just the conference opponent in the Cardinals. W. And they got the Saints again. Win that. W. They got the Falcons at the crib.
Thursday night.
If they win the first game versus the Falcons, I got them lose in the second game.
I agree. I think they split against the Falcons as well.
I don't know, bro. I got to see how the Falcons going to look. They might have a different quarterback in there.
They got Michael Penix. Michael Penix, yeah. He's going to be a quarterback.
Hey, brother, if he's struggling, he might have to go to turn back to Kirk.
I think Kirk can beat him.
Give me Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I feel like the Falcons probably gonna be in some type of cage.
John is gonna win his argument.
Yeah, bro.
I just said if they beat the whole division, which they should, that's two more wins. That's all I said.
Okay. So they come to Carolina. they should be better this year. I got
Tampa Bay.
I think they split with Carolina this year, personally. I think they lose the first one, they come back and win the second one in January. Then they go to, they stay in Florida and play the Dolphins on the 28th, right after Christmas.
That's a win.
Tua will be hurt by then.
Okay, that's crazy.
Hey, yo.
That's crazy.
The crazy state. That's your bold prediction? That's insane.
Oh, that ain't bold at all, brother.
Hey, yo.
He's pre-grown.
He's like, this is just Tuesday.
I know you're gonna miss some games.
All right,
but the same thing. You can say the same thing about Tampa. Like we're saying all this in health. Like there could be injuries
too. Who been hurt for them?
Didn't Mike Evans and Chris Godwin get hurt last year?
Facts.
Did they?
Yes.
I don't know.
They did. Yes, one of them got hurt. One of them got hurt during the Ravens game.
Yeah, Mike Evans hurt his hamstring.
Yeah,
Chris Godwin only played seven games.
Yeah,
Evans played 14.
Exactly,
and they still went 10-7. Keep going.
That's it. That's the end of the schedule, bro.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh well.
I think we gave them five losses for sure, bare minimum.
Okay. So that's 12. That's 12 wins right there.
But then we had a lot of. I had personally had a lot of toss ups for them.
Yeah, I mean,
a few of those games definitely gonna be close, which means they could also win them. Word, you just looking at it from the loser perspective. Also mean they could win it.
Like, I think it'd be good. I think it'd be good, but I just think 14 is a lot, and I say that because I think their division is getting a little bit better. Same we talked about Chicago. I think that Carolina and Atlanta will be a little better than they were last year.
But saying what you're saying, Hondo, like if they do get like 13 or 14 wins, do you think that they have enough to win the Super Bowl or like get there?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, thank God.
But I think that playing their schedule, they should be able to improve from 10-7.
I got you.
Right. Yeah, I hear that.
We're talking about meaningless talk, essentially. Like,
nah, I mean, I told you from the beginning, bro. I think Detroit and Philly are going to be top dogs. And like I said, I don't know what the rest of these teams are going to do. That's literally what I started off by saying. But I do think Tampa Bay should run away with this division.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It's been interesting, bro. Me personally, like I said, I think that they have more competition out of Carolina and Atlanta this year. So I don't know about running away with the division. Record-wise, they probably have a better record than them. But division record-wise, I mean, it was pretty close last year because both them and Atlanta both had a 4-2 division record last year. So I think that Carolina could easily win another division game and split with one of them. And they might be more 3-3 versus the 4-2 that they were last year. That's all I'm saying.
What makes y'all think specifically both of those teams, Atlanta and Carolina, will be better?
Me personally, bro, I just think that I'll speak on Carolina first. They were the worser team than Atlanta last year. I think that Bryce would take another step. Towards the end of last season, Bryce was balling. I mean, Bryce had them in games against Philly. You know what I'm saying? Like they really should have won that game against Philly. We're looking back at it. And so keeping that same mentality and that same momentum from the end of last season, I think they only got better, right? In my personal opinion, they went ahead and paid J.C. Horn. They would be getting Derrick Brown back, who was missing the entire last season. So that helps him tremendously on that defensive line. He's one of the best defensive inside guys in the league, to get him back, right? I think that in the draft, they were able to add a couple pieces. I mean, when they got McMillan, who will be a crazy, I think, addition to go along with Leggett on the other side. So I think offensively, weapon-wise, I think that helps them out to spread out some teams. The teams are going to have to be more, defensively minded when it comes to guarding them. I think that just overall making decisions, I think Bryce is getting better making decisions in the league, right? I think he came out in the start of his career and was just kind of nervous as the one overall pick, but I think each year he's picked it up more for me personally. Now, am I saying that Carolina is going to win the division, do anything crazy like that? No, I don't have that kind of faith in Carolina at all. And I'm glad I'm saying that because I got to bet with my cousins that they're not going to do that. They think that they are going to win the division. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think they'd be a little better than 5-12 for sure. I can see them being, 7-10 versus that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could be a little. And that, when I say that, one of those two wins that they get extra can come in the division. You know what I'm saying? Because you play them and you have that. You play them every year, so you kind of know how they go. Then speaking on Atlanta, for me personally, I think Michael Penix takes his team to another level. For me personally, I think with Drake London, I think with Bijan Robinson, I think with, Kyle Pitts, with a quarterback who I think Michael, will get his opportunity to shine this year. I think he helps that team. And once again, they were, 8-9 last year. They could easily be 9-8 this year. You know what I'm saying? And once again, I think that one game can make a difference in the division versus making a difference overall. So I'm not saying the Tampa's not gonna win the division. I just think it's going to be a little bit more competition in the division versus what it's been the past couple of years. That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with everything John said. I feel like coming from Atlanta's perspective, though, they got Jalen Walker and James Pierce. I think they, reach for James Pierce with that first round, trading in to get James Pierce, but they're both play now guys. They can come in and, affect the team. And I think both of them will be starting at some point this season. You sure up that defense. And I think Drake London has to take a step up. Like whoever did the who better votes, thank y'all are big Drake London fans. So we're going to have to see it this year. I think he's a quality receiver. So, and if Bijan takes a step up, with Michael Penix, we can see what he did at Washington. And I think him being in the dome, right, is a big advantage for their passing offense. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think it'll be better than what they were last year. I have them being second in the division and everything John said about the Panthers. Like you have McMillan. Now you have Xavier Leggett, who should be taking a step up this year. So it gives you weapons on the outside. We'll see how Chuba Herbert looks this year. Yeah. So, they have pieces. They're building. I just don't think they're ready to contend, but they're not going to be a slouch. It's going to be one of those games you're like, oh, how did Atlanta win that game? Or how did Carolina win that game? And I think it's just because, the boys competing. It's kind of like I feel like Carolina's kind of like the Bulls hundo, where it's like they're going to look really sorry early, but it's like later in the season, you'll be like, dang, how are they winning these games? And I think a lot of it's just because they're going to be slowly building and having momentum later in the season.
Yeah, that's all I had to say about them. That's all. That's really it for the NFC. Let's get to some bold predictions, fellas. We got the season coming up. We got some awards that we know we talked about, but let's see. I'm gonna ask y'all boldly give me your kind of, we already been going over division. So let's just go boldly, give me your division winners and give me your top three. I'm not even gonna ask you for this whole seven. Give me your top three playoff teams from each division. You don't have to necessarily give them to me in the top three seeding. Give me your top three playoff teams and then give me your division winners. So we'll start with the division winners and then give me your top three playoff teams from each division, each conference, excuse me.
All right, AFC, I got the Bills winning division. AFC North, got the Ravens. AFC South, I have the Texans slightly. AFC West, I have the Chargers. NFC East, I have the Eagles. The North, like I said, I got Green Bay. They're going to be my dark horse this year. And NFC South, Tampa Bay. NFC West, San Francisco. Top three in the AFC East, I have the Ravens. Then I have the Bills and Chargers. Top three in the NFC East. Oh, wait, top three in the NFC. The Eagles going to be number one seed. Then I got the Niners just because of their schedule. I think they're going to rattle off a lot of wins. And then I got, obviously, the Packers third and Tampa Bay fourth, like in terms of seeding.
Okay. Hunter, what you got, man?
AFC East, Buffalo.
Okay.
AFC North, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
AFC South. I'm going to say Houston. I'm going to go Houston, despite the offensive line. AFC West, I think that's going to be a tough division again, man. But I'm going to go with KC. I think KC is still the top dog in that division. NFC East, Philly.
Okay.
NFC North, Detroit. NFC South, Tampa Bay. The West, I think it's also going to be interesting. I'm going to go with the Rams. Top three in the AFC, Baltimore, Buffalo, okay, and Kansas City.
Okay.
Top three in the NFC, Philly, Detroit, Tampa Bay.
Okay. All right. For me personally, AFC East, man, I got Buffalo. I think that'd be easy for them. Baltimore in the North. Now, the South may surprise y'all. And I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars to win that division.
That boy just knew you was about to say the Colts. He had his hopes up. Hey, John, he's sitting over there. He said, I ain't the only one who think Colts got a chance.
Hey, Hundo, he's talking about some slightly to the Texans. My slightly wasn't to the Colts, buddy.
He just knew you was about to say the Colts.
And I would tell you this, bro. I know people have lost faith in Trevor. They lost faith in that team, bro. I think, and I'm not saying Travis will come in and be dominant and just, you know, be the difference maker, but I do think Travis will come in and have a good year for them this year. I think that they would be able to, they've had a lot of injuries, I think, and so I think they'd be able to overcome some of that. Houston, for me, bro, they've been doing enough to get by because the division's been sorry. I think that Jacksonville comes back this year, and this is a slightly that I got. They slightly win that division over Houston. I'm going to go Jacksonville to win that division slightly. But I think Houston will still do enough to make the playoffs.
Hey, yes. Hey, one thing real quick, John. I'm looking at the standings right now, but, like, Jacksonville went 3-3 in that division. They only won four games.
Exactly. Like. Exactly. Hey. You see what I'm saying? You're following me. See? So, yes. When I win four games and three away in my division, I can easily win five. Easily. It's not going to make too much of a jump. So, me personally, I got Jacksonville in that division. I got KC until somebody proves that they can beat KC in that division. I got KC winning the division. NFC East, I still got Philly. I think Washington will be good again this year, but I just don't think that they'll be able to have Philly's number. NFC North, I still got Detroit winning that division. Me personally, I got Tampa Bay winning the South. And then... the West for me gets kind of dicey because like I think I agree with Colin that San Fran's gonna be much better this year, but will they be better? Will they be the best? I think the Rams right now are reigning supreme in that division. I'm gonna say, y'all don't have no faith in Brock Purdy. I don't got no faith in Brock Purdy. The Rams win the division. The Rams gonna win the division by a game margin. It's going to be close, but I got the Rams winning the division by a game.
So you think San Fran will be second in that division?
Yeah, San Fran will be two for sure. They'll do enough to make the playoffs, but I think the Rams still are better. With the addition of Tay, they still got Puka out there. I got Verse and the other young bull out there on the D-line. Crazy, you know, defense right now. So I got them. I got them number one right now in that division. Top three AFC playoff teams. In no particular fashion and no order, Baltimore. I'm actually going to say that Buffalo should be up there. And then let's go with I want to say KC. And I'm going to say KC because, I mean, nobody's been able to prove me wrong with that right as of right now. So I'm just going to KC. And I'll save my other bowl prediction for a little bit later on. Let's go KC for now. NFC, top three teams, no particular order. Detroit, Philly. Let's go to Rams. Detroit, Philly, and the Rams. Top three NFCs. So with those bowl predictions in mind, fellas, somebody got to be the MVP of the league. Last year, obviously, you know, we had a huge debate for the majority of the season of who should be MVP. Give me y'all bold predictions right now. Who is in the running for MVP and who's going to win it? Give me your who's in the running and who's going to win it. I'll start it off. Lamar Jackson obviously is in the running. He's in the running every year. Every year he's healthy, Lamar Jackson will be in the running. That's for me, it's a foregone conclusion. So I got Lamar Jackson once again in the MVP running. I think that Josh Allen drops out of the MVP running this year, me personally. I believe that, let's see. I think that Jalen Hurts will enter the MVP conversation this year, as well as Jaden Daniels. And Joe Burrow will also enter the MVP conversation this year.
Joe Scheisty.
Those are my top four to be MVP. Now, of course, there could always be a dark horse running back like Saquon was last year. But I don't know if Saquon puts up the same numbers they did last year or again this year. Me personally. I think he'll be having another great season. Just not the same numbers. Just because the other backs will be back and will be able to kind of put up similar numbers. So, who have winning the MVP this year? Lamar Jackson. I think he's back, man. I think he was too close last year to not get it this year, bro. I people laugh when I say that, and they think I'm biased. But, like, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, every year he just gets better and better. Every year he gets better and better, bro. I mean, last year it was just crazy statistical numbers. 41 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Over almost 4,000 yards passing, another 1,000 yards rushing. Pretty almost. I mean, you don't see those kind of numbers from quarterbacks with crazy, crazy efficiency at that as well. One of the highest quarterback ratings in the league last year. And you know, he didn't win MVP. But that's another discussion for another day. I think this year we got a crazy defense. The offense is in now year three of the Todd Monken offense. You know, we added in Nuke. Derrick Henry's back. We signed him to another contract. I think Lamar just goes crazy again, bro. It's not a lot of teams that can hang with us, bro. It really is not. It's really not a lot of teams that can hang with us, like game for game, quarter for quarter. It's not a lot of teams. So Lamar has proven also, I was listening to a thing yesterday on ESPN, when he plays the top teams in the league, most times when we play them, we dominate. We dominate in the regular season. So because the quarterback, we've talked about this all the time, because the MVP is a regular season award, Lamar's to lose until he decides otherwise. So that's what I got for y'all.
I got, in terms of runner-ups, I got Mahomes. I think Mahomes is going to bounce back this year. He's going to have a decent year. And I think that Chiefs offense is going to rely heavy on Mahomes this year. Second, I got Lamar, of course. But in terms of winning the MVP, you already know where I stand, man. I think Josh Allen puts the team on his back once again, and he's going to be a two-time MVP this year. Like Hundo said earlier, we just don't know what we're getting from Buffalo. I think they're still going to rely on Josh Allen heavy. Hopefully there's another year of growth for Keon Coleman. Obviously, you know, you had James Cook back there, but it's just going to come down to Josh Allen. And I think they're going to win 12, 13 games, especially they're going to dominate that division outside of New England. But I think New England still has some growing pains. But they're going to dominate the division. He's going to have a great year, and I think he wins again.
I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what we're going to get from Josh Allen. I don't know if he can do that same thing that he did last year of, like, game managing slash, like, putting the team on his back, bro. Like, he had a heavy load to carry last year, bro. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that another year. They got James Cook in the backfield. They still got Keon Coleman. Didn't they sign a wide receiver? Didn't they add somebody in free agency? Am I mistaken?
I don't know, brother.
But if not, still, the ball going to be in Josh Allen's hands a lot. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it again. My MVP is probably going to be Lamar Jackson, as much as I hate to say it. He should get MVP. He should get it. I think, like y'all said, Joe Burrow and Mahomes definitely going to be in the conversation. And I think Saquon will be in the conversation again. I think he's one of the top running backs right now. Can help in the passing game a little bit more than what he did last year. Those are the guys that I'm going to be watching closely.
Who has the easier schedule, Josh Allen or Lamar? I'm genuinely asking.
Josh Allen has a much easier schedule.
Yeah.
Much easier.
They got the Ravens, Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons, Panthers, Chiefs, Dolphins, Buccaneers, Texans, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Browns, Eagles, and the Jets. That's who the Bills play. That's the Bills. And then Baltimore has Bills, Browns, Lions, Chiefs, Texans, Rams, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, and Patriots, Packers, and then the Steelers again.
That's solid schedules.
Yeah, you got to think too. Like, six of those games are divisional opponents, and Buffalo has a easier division than Baltimore alone. And then it looks like they play the NFC West and AFC East, maybe for the Ravens.
And that's kind of my point, though. It's like, okay, Lamar's going to have some tough matchups. And, like, even though he has a harder schedule, like, if Josh Allen is playing, you know, the Dolphins and playing the Jets and is dominating, wouldn't the voters be more inclined to give it to Josh Allen if he's putting up crazy numbers?
But like John just said, the Ravens play good against the top competition. So if Lamar, you know, continues that track and they're winning most of those games, if not all of those games, Lamar is going to be in that conversation too.
And I say this, based upon the argument from last year, Colin, y'all remember y'all was arguing me down about Josh Allen beating the Lions and the Chiefs, the top teams. And y'all talked about Lamar not having to face crazy competition. Ain't no way in the world you about to tell me Josh about to have a cupcake schedule and dominate, and I think I'm about to give him an MVP for it. Thanks for doing your job, buddy. I mean, no, I'm not doing that.
and even if, like Josh Allen, they have to win those games. Like,
yes,
that cupcake schedule, they got to win, and he got to play good, and he got to dominate in those games. Like, they can't be struggling, or they can't slip up and lose.
And if he falters, I want that same, hold on now, Josh. Yeah, you should have lost to that team. Well, not with you being an elite reigning MVP of this. Yeah, no. I'm on your head. I'm on your head. I promise you.
Give me Josh. I see it.
I promise you.
I think the media has, you know, wanted to be Josh. I think that they created this schedule, the league, you know, they're trying to, you know, paint a narrative.
NPS is working early this year. Hey, I'm just glad he got his out the way last year. He got one. Good, good job, Josh. Hey, after that, hey, good luck.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, bro. I just don't see him being sustainable in that level of play for him. And I'm not saying that he's not a good quarterback. And that's not what I'm saying to y'all at all. But when it comes to sustainability of the quarterback play and MVP caliber play, now not good quarterback, but you can be a good quarterback and not be the MVP level.
That's weird.
Those two things are, you know, is, you know.
So outside of the people y'all named, do y'all see any dark horse candidates for MVP?
I didn't mention Jaden, but probably Jaden. But they gotta at least win that division. But I don't know.
Yeah, they gotta win that division for that.
They gotta at least win that division for that to happen.
I agree with that. League MVP. See, the thing is, bro, and we talked about this before, it's a quarterback award. It's hard to win that award if you're not a quarterback. You got to do some extraordinary stuff. Saquon could have won it had he gone for 2,000 and done a couple extra things, but he could have did it. But it's hard for running backs to hit 2K. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to do some extraordinary things. So, like, in theory, you know, we talk about theory a lot, Colin. In theory, right, let's say Jettas, doggone Jamar Chase went for the Triple Crown last year, wasn't in the MVP conversation. So, like, it's just hard to win that award if you're not a quarterback. And I don't see any other quarterbacks that we didn't name that could play up to that kind of potential, that kind of level.
Hey, somebody who we didn't talk about, though, and I think he should have been in the MVP conversation a little bit last year, but Derrick Henry. I think that's somebody, especially if, like, Lamar is struggling a little bit or like, you know, Lamar mess around and get hurt or something. Like, Derrick Henry's going to have a heavy load to carry, and if he's able to, you know, carry that load and, you know, rush for 1,800, you know, maybe 2,000 yards – And having, you know, 15 plus touchdowns or whatever the case may be, maybe Derrick Henry.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear what you're saying, brother. But Derrick Henry went for 1,900 yards last year and had almost 20 plus touchdowns and was in the conversation.
But see, look though, like Lamar, like I said, like Lamar would either have to be struggling or like he would have to go down with an injury for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I would love it. It sounds good. I just don't know if I buy into that narrative. Like, you really got to be crazy. I'm going to put on some crazy highlights like Saquon was last year. And Derek's, he just going, it wasn't a quiet 1,900, but like, but it bro, was like, hey,
like, Derek, but like you, know. You, but like you playing with Lamar. Like, that's going to split the votes.
Yeah.
And yeah. People going to see Lamar. Like you said, like, it's a quarterback award. That's why I said, like, Lamar would have to go down or be playing bad for Derrick Henry to truly get that attention and that spotlight on him.
No, that's facts. That's facts. Hey, Derek, just get your quiet 1,900 again, brother. I'm not. You stay.
don't even worry about the MVP.
Don't worry about that award, brother. You worry about that the big award. That's that Lombardi, brother. You worry about that one. We
That's why
your great deposit is the reward.
Nah, facts. The boy just gave you a big 2-year extension. Yeah, please. You worry about getting that ball into the end zone, young man. I know. Oh man. Let me, before we close out for the day, let's talk about some offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Let's talk about some of the young bulls. And I'm not really too worried about the offensive and defensive player of the year. That's a whole nother can of worms. So let's just talk about the young bulls before we end off the episode. Who do y'all think are some top guys on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, rookie-wise, that could win those awards for this year? Really, like, put their stamp on the league.
A question for y'all before y'all answer that, but like, and this is a part of that too.
Okay.
But like, could Travis win both of those awards?
I was just about to ask that.
That would absolutely.
And I doubt we've seen a player do that.
In NFL history.
I'm going to the GM immediately. We're going to revise his contract.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
That's actually crazy to think about, bro. To see him do both. And that's predicated on the Jacksonville, one, being good, and two, giving him the opportunity to play both sides equally. Mm-hmm. You know, giving him, put him in the game plan to work equally. So it's possible. Dude, he did just with Hosman, you know, as a two-way player. So it would be absolutely crazy to think about the fact that he could win the offensive and the defense. Now, he would have to put up some crazy numbers. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
He would have to put up probably some, like I said, insane numbers. Because I'm thinking, like, I didn't look up who won those awards last year. But I'm thinking about the stats you have to put up on both sides. As a wide receiver, bare minimum got to go for 1,000. Bare minimum.
We saw Garrett Wilson win it a few years back.
Yeah.
But Jaden won it last year on the offensive side. And then defense, I want to say it was Verse, maybe.
I do think it was Verse. Yeah.
So defensive end / pass rusher. So
yeah.
Travis is a corner receiver. So
let's play a little game with that real quick before we give our actual prediction. For Travis to win both of those awards, give me what you think his stat line would have to be offensively and defensively to win that award.
I feel like for Travis being a corner, like, he would have to have a crazy interception, like, in terms of number of interceptions. Because a lot of
how the number, though.
Yeah, I got
to look at the numbers.
Hey, before you say a crazy number, let's go look at the NFL leaders in interceptions last year first.
I think it was like – I think the NFL leader – I'm going to guess he had like eight or nine. I don't think nobody had more than that.
That leaders, interceptions. So Kirby Joseph had nine.
Yep. So to win rookie of the year.
Maybe like five or six, maybe. Yeah, like
five or six, maybe.
Five or six. With like maybe like, I don't know. What about tackles? Like 70 plus, 60 plus? 70,
you need at least about 70 tackles. Okay, but hold on. Didn't Sauce win it? Didn't Sauce and Garrett win a couple years ago? What was Sauce numbers mean when defense player of the year? Rookie of the year a couple years ago. And then give me Garrett's numbers. Because I think he would have to put up those kind of numbers, I think, to win. I say that just because they was on the same team and they won the awards.
Sauce has 75 tackles and 3 picks in his rookie year.
So to win the award, bare minimum, he would need bare minimum that, plus probably another pick or two to be in the conversation. And the offensive
75 tackles.
Honestly, if he has that, though, like if he has those stats on the defensive end, I don't necessarily think he will have to have 1,000 yards on the offensive end to win the award. Like he could have like 890 and like a crazy touchdown rate. But people will know just because he's able to do that and he's playing defense, it'll give him extra votes.
That's true.
But see, I don't know, bro. I don't think it's gonna work like that in the NFL, bro.
But no, I see Colin's point though, because like if you're putting up that kind of production on defense and still giving me 890 and 7 touchdowns on the offense side of the ball too, that's tough.
I don't know, Brad, because there's going to be some people that strictly play offense, whether that's receivers or quarterbacks. You know, I feel like when you look at the top receivers last year that was in that rookie class, you had Neighbors, you had Brian Thomas Jr. I know I'm missing somebody, but like them boys was in like
1,000 yards
Pro Bowl conversations. Like,
but Travis will easily be there with that same conversation with the offense people of stats.
Even with 890, because like you said, Hundo, before we got on the call, like outside of McMillan, who else do you see putting up like maybe 1,000 yards in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the offensive side is probably a little bit weaker as far as winning that award. Like you got Cam Ward, you got Genty, and maybe McMillan. Like maybe McMillan, he playing with Leggett and Bryce Young, so ain't no guarantee that he's gonna be no top guy, but we're going to see. But I don't think Loveland's going to do much in Chicago. I don't know what Indianapolis is going to look like with Tyler Warren. Like, maybe, like I said, Genty, Cam Ward, and maybe Travis.
Yeah.
But similar to what y'all said about MVP, like, quarterback-dominated award. Like, if Cam Ward is, you know, starting all the games, he doesn't get hurt, and – even if they, I don't know though. Like, And we talked about this too with John, with like the WNBA, like,
yeah,
your team success. Like, even if Cam Ward does, you know, start all the games, but like, what if they sorry?
Yeah.
Like, what if he puts up good numbers and they still sorry? Like, does he get the award, or do you give it to somebody whose team is better?
I think I'm gonna take your point from what you said. I think this is an individual award. Yeah, your team might be sorry, but your stats is crazy. And like I said, we're speaking on Travis specifically, if you give me 890 and let's just say 8 touchdowns on the offensive side, and then defensively you give me, let's just say, 6-7 pass breakups with 4 picks and 60-70 tackles, that's crazy. Nobody's doing that. Like you said, these guys are one-sided focused. So, yeah, mm-hmm. 200 yards and 12 touchdowns is not – that's crazy. But to do 890 and 7 and defensively still be efficient, man, shoot, we ain't never seen it before.
How realistic do y'all think it is for him to get 800-plus receiving yards on the offensive side? Like – And you mentioned this earlier, John, like, it's going to come down to if Jacksonville, you know, allows him to play, you know, equally on both sides. But like,
right.
I just don't know, bro. I don't know.
Low key, I feel like it could be done because they have Brian Thomas Jr. Like, he's not going to be the focal point for a lot of defenses.
Exactly.
Like, if Brian Thomas Jr. is being guarded by the top corner, I still have faith for Travis to dominate whoever that slot corner is on, whoever's on the other side. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he could get a quiet 890 or maybe even 800. He could get a quiet 800 just because the focus is going to be on Brian and whoever they're running at running back. I don't know if they're bringing back ETN, like best only option, I think. So
Tank.
Oh yeah, Tank. Yeah. Don't they still have Evan Ingram, or am I tripping?
He's on the Broncos. Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I know that.
That was one of the Broncos' big offseason additions. We went and got a tight end instead of getting a doggone receiver.
I see. I got to look at that Jacksonville depth chart, man. I got to see it. But, yeah, bro, that's intriguing. I haven't thought about it. I just brought that up. Could Travis do both? I think he – and this is my bold prediction. I think he gets one of them. He gets one of those awards for sure. And I'm leaning towards defense. Over offense for Travis, but he'll be having some tough competition because there's a young man in Baltimore named Malachi Starks, and that young man is a baller out of Georgia. So I think he got some stiff competition for that defensive player award. But I do think Travis currently is the front runner to win that award. Personally, that's my bold prediction. I think he's the front runner to win the defensive player of the year. Rookie.
What about Abdul Carter and the Giants? Like I said, like verse won it last year.
Yeah, but the Rams were good.
Players coming off the edge. What'd you say?
The Rams were good. The Giants are gonna suck. Even with Abdul. They had a crazy defensive line with Abdul.
Yeah, but once again, bro, it's about the individual numbers versus that conversation of individual numbers versus team success.
Do you think he'll put up big numbers with that defensive line? Because they have
that's what I'm saying.
Burns and Thibodeau.
But like what did Verse do what was Verse stats last year? Like did he?
I don't know. I don't remember what Verse did last year. Pull him up real quick.
66 tackles, 4.5 sacks.
But also once again, he was dominant and the Rams were winning. Like I feel like I just personally feel like I think we're getting to a point in the league with the NFL with these rookie awards that the teams have to be somewhat like relevant. My personal opinion. I look at the past couple of years of who's won these offensive rookie player of the years. Like the teams haven't been like sorry. Like who won offensive player rookie of the year last year? Who won?
Jaden Daniels
and Verse. Both guys who played on playoff teams and went far in the playoffs. The Rams were the Rams in the NFC Championship.
You said they what?
The no, sorry, they played in the divisional, right?
They played the Eagles. Yeah, and lost.
They played in the divisional. And then obviously Jaden won offensive with as a NFC championship guy.
Hey, the top four dudes last year for defensive rookie of the year, Jared Verse, Quinyon Mitchell, Brandon Fisk, who was the other defensive lineman for the Rams, and then Cooper DeJean. Those are the top four.
You see what I'm saying? So like I feel like once again, you would have to be a guy on a winning team because outside of that, it's like, what does it matter?
The top four last year was Jaden on the offensive side was Jaden, Brock Bowers, Bo Nix, Brian Thomas. Neighbors was fifth.
Do you think Mikael Williams has a shot to win defensive player of the year from Georgia?
Who did he play for? Who's he playing for now?
49ers.
Nah. Me personally.
I don't know, bro. Like to me, it's gonna come down to like playing time and like they like still got most of it, like, a little bit like your team success, bro. Like clearly those names that I just listed, like their teams were successful. So like if you're playing a big part of your team being successful, not to say you've got to be the, you know, the best player, but you gotta have some type of impact mm-hmm. on the game. Okay. Even if your team is successful, like you can't just be on a good team and not doing that and expect to win the award.
I mean, I think he can have a big impact too.
Huh?
I said, I personally think he can have a big impact, like, if he's playing opposite the side of Bosa. And he's not, like, Slots, I know he got injured at Georgia, but he was still a top player, like, his junior year. He would be a dark horse for me. I don't know how Mason Graham will look at in the Browns.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard for an interior defensive lineman to get that jump, bro. Like,
yeah,
you got to be on some Aaron Donald type stuff. If you're not getting no sacks or you're not getting no picks, it's gonna be hard
to get that award. Huh? So you just a run stuffer.
Word.
Yeah,
you're gonna get overlooked. Like, it's not flashy, bro. Like, yeah, you're doing your job and you play good, but like. I feel like that's a part of it too, like your position and you know the flair that you bring to the game. Like, are you making impact plays of like getting sacks or you know forcing fumbles or getting picks? Right. Which could mean you know the award is a little bit biased, maybe. I don't know.
Indeed. Yeah,
these awards could be biased.
So like I said, I'm going to give you a couple guys defensively and then offensively, and we go, I'm good with mine. Like I said, Malachi, Travis, defense for me. I'll give you one more guy. Let's go one of the DNs from Atlanta. Let's go either Pierce or Walker. Yeah, let's go one of them. Offensively, Cam Ward and then Austin. One of the two of them. That's what I'm going to give you.
Yeah, I think Travis, for me, defense player of the year. I think sneaky pick could be Mikael, like I just said. Also, offensively, I think they're going to give it to Cam Ward. Even if they're bad, I think he's going to put up crazy moment, like crazy stats and have big moments. So I don't have another one because, like Hundo said, I don't see McMillan having a big year alongside Leggett. Thanks. And I just feel like that Travis offensive rookie of the year is kind of I know we say it can happen, but it's kind of lofty.
I think Genty is going to have the opportunity as well. Like I said, like it's going to come down to playing time. Like I don't know who else they got at running back, but like he should be touching the ball a good bit in Vegas. So I would probably just add in Genty, especially if like Cam Ward slips up and he's throwing a good bit of picks. I think Genty could be in that conversation as well.
Yeah, hear that. Well,
I got another bold prediction.
Okay, go ahead.
This will be the last season for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is not going to be a coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers next season.
We need something bolder than that. You've been saying that.
I said you've been saying that for a limited
time. I just had to reiterate that from the top of the mountain. So
that ain't bold enough, Colin.
Not bold enough.
Not bold enough.
Let me see what I got.
Oh, I got one. Miami will have a top two pick next year.
Okay.
That's bold.
Okay. Yeah, that's bold.
I'm going to one-up you. they'll be joining in the top five by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but I can get that.
Hey.
I feel like it's consensus. They're going to be sorry.
The Broncos gonna win the AFC West.
Why didn't you pick them?
I said, why didn't you pick them? You did not pick them. You broke the Chiefs.
Huh? The Chiefs. The Chiefs still in that division, bro. I still.
But that's your prediction.
Why was you bold a couple minutes ago?
Why was bold now? But you didn't pick them a few minutes ago.
Because hey, bold and being smart are two different things. Being bold and being smart are two different things.
Word.
Okay. Solid. That's cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we come to another conclusion here at the Winning Shot Podcast. This has been another episode of laugh, debate, banter between the guys, man. Healthy jargon talk. I think that hopefully you all were able to gain some insight from this. And at bare minimum, you're able to think, could this happen? That's at the end of every episode, that's my hope and prayer, is that we drive you all to have some healthy discussion in your group chats via us on social media. Once we post these clips and articles on Substack, I hope that you're able to say, wow, these young men are insightful enough to think about, could this happen in the league? Can Travis be the first player in NFL history to win both awards in the same year? That's some healthy talk right there. Could Josh Allen regress and lead the Buffalo Bills on a path of destruction? That's some healthy talk right there. Will the San Francisco 49ers come back from injury and be able to win that division? That's some healthy talk right there. Ladies and gentlemen, I would submit to you that the Winning Shot Podcast, with these three young men right here on the screen that you're looking at, allows you some of the best opportunity in the sports world to have some conversation. And that's our hope, that's our prayer, that you all are able to take what we say and have some discussion. That's all we ask. That's all we ask here at the Winning Shot Podcast. And so in order to continue the discussion, continue the debate, what we're going to do is this, and this is our promise. This isn't a bold prediction. This is a guarantee. We're going to continue to put out episodes each and every week to make sure that you all are able to continue to have this discussion, because you need it. Sports are back. We love sports here in America, don't we? Football, basketball, track, soccer. It don't matter what it is, we have discussion about it each and every day. People's salaries are paid because they have opinions on sports. So you know what we're trying to do? Get into that monetization era. That's what we're trying to do. We want to get paid too. Help us to be able to get to that pay point. And you know how you can help us? Like, comment, subscribe, share with your cousin, your grandma, your friends, your neighbors. Talk about it. Run up the numbers here at the Winning Shot Podcast. Abundance is the goal. Our cup is trying to runneth over. Amen. So we appreciate y'all once again, all that you're currently doing and all that you're going to do, right? We appreciate the banter. We appreciate the debates and the comments. Once again, I love it. I love getting on TikTok, YouTube, and saying, oh, John don't know what he's talking about. I love it, because I promise you, I'm going to respond back. I'm going to be right there in the comments saying, oh, yeah, we'll take this, Jimmy Neutron 0605. Let's have a conversation, buddy. I'm never going to be the one to shy away from any kind of conversation. So continue, please, to post your comments in the chat. I had particularly good banter with the fans in Denver a few weeks ago, talking about that team and them being a Super Bowl contender, when I talked about the J.K. Dobbins thing, which I'm still standing on 10 toes, by the way. Denver's not winning no dog with Super Bowl this year. But anyways, we appreciate you at the Winning Shot Podcast. I do. I know Colin does. I know Zach does. And we appreciate all that y'all do. And we look forward to seeing y'all at the next appointed time, which will be very, very soon. Peace.